Turning our Bibles to the book of John, chapter number 5. John, chapter number 5. Give you just a moment to turn there. We're going to read the first 6 verses, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. John, chapter number 5. And you pray for us that the Lord would help us this morning and speak to our hearts. John chapter 5, verse number 1. The Bible said, "After this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole?" Let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for all the many blessings you've given to us and for letting us be here this morning. Lord, we have many things to pray about and pray for, and people, Lord, who are not here today that would like to be, Lord, we pray for them, all of them. We pray especially for Sister Jeannie. God, that you'd be with her and help her, Lord, in the surgery coming up. We pray for her that everything would go good and that it would be successful. We pray for Sister Mick and all of her family, God, that's trying to minister to her and help her there during this time. Lord, we have many others to pray for and think about today, but God, as we come together this morning, we especially pray that, God, you would speak to us from your word, and God, that you'd give liberty and freedom and power from on high today. I pray for that unction, and Lord, I pray, God, as we've read in the word of God this morning, Lord, we need a visitation from on high. Lord, without that, we cannot do anything in and of ourselves. We read in the Word of God how the angel came down and troubled the water, and Lord, how that, God, nobody could get healed, Lord, until heaven moved first. And God, we need a moving from heaven in this day and time in which we live. We need to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, you'd speak to us. Help us. Help us in this day and time, Lord. I pray for souls to be saved. I pray for the church to be strengthened. I pray, God, that you would speak to our hearts and manifest your presence here today. Lord, I pray you'd bind the devil, that he'd not be able to hinder. And Lord, just give liberty as only you can and have your way. And we ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. Let's read verse number 6 one more time before we get started this morning. John chapter 5 and verse number 6. The Bible said, "When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole?" And I'd like to take these verses this morning and try to preach on the subject of casual Christianity. That's what I want to try to preach on this morning. Casual Christianity. You know, in our modern day way of thinking, we think of the word casual, and it's mentioned quite often. And most everybody this morning, I'm sure, knows what I'm talking about or when I use the word casual. To be casual is to be in style. It's to be in fashion. It's to be in vogue. You know that word vogue. There's a magazine, and the name of it is Vogue, and it means to be the way of the world. And so when we think about casual, that's what we think about. You know, restaurants, they advertise that they have casual dining, and businesses, sometimes they'll have casual Fridays. You know, if you ever been to the bank on Friday sometimes, and you think, well, are they even open today? Everybody's in their jeans and t-shirts and stuff like that. And you wonder, you know, that's not normally the way it is. And you say, well, what's going on? Well, we're having casual Friday, and everybody just dresses, you know, comfortably and all like that. You know, when I was in the military, every once in a great while, they would let us dress casual, and you'd wear jeans and t-shirts and go to work. And I always noticed that when you had casual Fridays, didn't seem like you got as much work done as you did on other days, and it just seemed sort of laid back. And you know, that just took away something from the order of the way things usually were, because that rank wasn't there and those stripes weren't on some of them's uniforms, and it just sort of took away from the whole order of everything. But you know, that's the way our society is going, is to be more casual. And so businesses have casual days, and there's casual clothing and casual conversation and casual friends, and on we could go this morning. But the church of today also has a casual type of Christianity. And I want to say first of all this morning that is not a good thing. A casual Christianity is actually a horrible thing. It's a dangerous thing. It's a substitute thing. It's a bastard form of Christianity. Now, I'm not cursing in saying that this morning. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 12 about a certain type of belief, and the writer over there, he says, you're bastards and not sons. You are, you think you are, but you're not. And there's a casual Christianity that is really not a Christianity at all. And it's typical of the last days in which we live. Casual Christianity is a fake Christianity. It's a phony Christianity. It's what the Bible talks about in the book of Jude. It's clouds without rain. It's a fake. It's a phony. It looks like there ought to be something beneficial there, but really it's not. You know, in Elijah and Elisha's day, there was a time when they went out there and they were having supper, and they found out there was poison in the pot. And somebody cried out and said, there's death in the pot. You know, that's what casual Christianity really is. It's a death in the pot. It looks like it ought to be all right and taste all right and smell all right, but really when you partake of it, there's nothing good in there. It is a people that says in this day and time, well, I'm rich and I'm increased with goods and have need of nothing. But on the other side, there's a holy God that says, you don't even know it, but you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And so that's what I want to try to preach on this morning, is a casual Christianity. Now, the word casual, I know how we usually think of it, but actually it is a shortening of our word casualty. You know what a casualty is? That's somebody that's been in an accident and has been maimed for life, been hurt for life. They are a casualty. And it comes from two English words. It's the word case, and the word accident is where we get our word casualty from. The word case and the word accident is where we get our word casualty from. Now, look there in verse number 6 one more time. Sometimes you'll read books and they'll talk about a nugget from the Greek. Well, I want to give you a nugget from the English this morning. The English language, because there's a few words in here that are probably italicized in your Bible, and that will mean that it's not in the original Greek language, but it's still in our English Bible, and it's still as much a part of the Word of God as any of the rest of it. There's a nugget in the English language here, and the Bible said when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. There's that word case. That's where we get our word casualty from. He'd been a long time in that case. He saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? This man had been a casualty for a long time. time. The Bible says in verse number 5, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And as I read this passage of scripture, I tend to believe that this man at one time had been able to walk just like everybody else. But something had happened in his life, probably an accident, that had made him a casualty, and he had been in that case now a long time. He was a casualty. And I want to give us, before I move on this morning, just the setting here is a beautiful picture in the Word of God as we think about this man and the case that he had been in now for a long time. The Bible tells us in verses 1 and 2 that this took place at Jerusalem. It said, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem. This took place at Jerusalem. Now Jerusalem is the city of worship. It's the place of worship. It's the place that during the millennial reign that the Lord Jesus Christ will rule and reign for 1,000 years from the literal city of Jerusalem that is still over there right now today. Jerusalem in the Word of God is the city of worship, and it says in verse number 1 that there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, it was either the feast of Pentecost or the Passover. It really doesn't matter which one it was going to take place at the temple. They were at Jerusalem. They were going up to the temple. The temple is a type of the place of worship. And so they're in the city of worship. They're going to the place of worship. The Bible said in verse 2, now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market. Now if we could go there today, you'd find that where they were right here, this particular place was near what is called in Nehemiah chapter number 3, the sheep gate. And at the sheep gate is where the sheep market was, and those that were going up to the temple to worship, they would first stop off at the sheep market, and at the sheep market they could buy a sacrifice to take up to the temple where they were going to worship God. And you know, that sheep market is a type of Calvary. It's a type of the Lamb of God. It takes away the sins of the world. So here we see the people going up to the feast. They're going up to worship God. And they're going to stop by the sheep market, which is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there they'll get a sacrifice. They'll go up to the temple and they'll offer that sacrifice up at the temple, up at the place of worship. All this is a beautiful picture this morning. It says there after the sheep market in verse number 2, it said by the sheep market a pool. There's a pool there. It wasn't a pool like you and I think of when we think about going on vacation and the motel have a pool, but it was a pool like you would see in a city center. And it was a pool that people could come by and they could bathe in. They could refresh themselves in that pool. They could cleanse themselves in that pool. That pool was a place of healing, as we read on down in the Word of God. And so there was a pool there. And it was a place, the Bible said, it goes on down, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda. Now Bethesda is a word, it's a name that means the house of kindness, the house of grace, the house of mercy is where they... You see what this is a picture of here in the Word of God? Here's the people of God and they're going up to the city of worship and they're going to the place of worship and they're passing by Calvary and they're passing by the house of kindness and mercy and grace and love. The Bible said there was 5 porches there, that pool. 5 in the Bible is the number of the grace of God. And a porch would be a place that was enclosed on 2 sides. It'd be enclosed maybe in the back and it'd have a great big shelter over the top like we would know as a porch as well. It's a place where you could get out from the elements and the harshness of the world. It's a place where you could get some shelter and some relief from the elements and the wind and the storm and the rain and the sun and all of those things. Now, if that's not a picture of what the church ought to be, I don't know what is. The church ought to be a place where sinners can come in and where the saints can come in and worship God. And that's what you got a picture of right there. And it's also a place where the Lord Jesus Christ came to. And I like that best of all this morning, but that's a picture of the church. And we ought to be a place where sinners can get help in this day and time. But I want to think about this morning with that setting in our mind of casual Christianity. And the first thing I want to point out there is the multitudes of casual Christianity. Now, casual Christianity is a dangerous thing. It's a fake thing. It's a phony thing. It's not real. Bible said in verse number 3, it said, in these, talking about in these five porches around this pool at Bethesda, Bible said in verse number 3, in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. You see there in the Word of God, the Bible says there was a great multitude of these people laying around. You know, if you could imagine this in your mind, what you would see is this sort of what we would imagine in our mind, sort of a city center type atmosphere. Streets, a pool, people coming and going all the time at this particular time of the year, at this feast that was taking place. The Word of God says there was a great multitude of these casualties laying around all over the place. I imagine if you were to go there, if you were to have been there at that time when the Lord Jesus Christ passed through, going up to the feast at the temple, I imagine there would be so many people laying around that you'd just about have to step over crippled folk to get where you was going and to do what you'd come to town to do. The Bible says there was a great multitude of, there's four descriptions there, impotent folk, of blind people, people that couldn't see, halt, they'd been in some kind of accident and limping along, withered, they'd been. Do you know if you don't use your limbs, if you lose your muscle strength, your arm, your leg, your hand, it'll wither up, it'll dry up. And there was all kinds of people laying around there that had all kinds of problems here in the Word of God. And so there's this great multitude of these casualties that are laying around. Do you know, if you go and look up the word casual, do you know what it says first of all? It says falling or accidental. That's why when people dress casual, they look like that. They just opened up the closet and whatever fell out on the floor, that's what they put on their bodies. That's dressing casual. It means falling. It means to be accidental. The Bible says, I was saying about Mephibosheth over in the Old Testament. Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth. We've all heard him preached on. The Bible said in 2 Samuel 7, 4 and 4, it says his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass as she made haste to flee that he fell and became lame. You know, old Mephibosheth, he was lame at the hands of another. Somebody else grabbed his hand and drug him along. And as I read that in the Word of God, she evidently could run faster than he could. He was just 5 years old. And the Word of God says that he fell and became lame. And do you know this morning that all of our casualties in the world, Brother Jason was talking about that word all this morning. Do you know all of our casualties in the world are at the hand of another? The Bible said in Romans 5 and 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Somebody says, preacher, this morning, preacher, that's not fair. That's not my fault. I didn't do that. Adam done that. But you know what? It's no matter. You're still a casualty this morning. It does not change the fact one bit. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that sin is what keeps us out of the presence of God. And so there's a great multitude laying around here in verse number 3. The word casual means falling. It means accidental. You know what else the word casual means? I'm talking about a Webster's 1828 dictionary. You can look it up. Second definition for the word casual means this: occasional, coming at certain time without regularity. Now, just occasional, coming at certain times, but never on a regular basis. You know, every pastor I know and every church I know has problems with that very thing. There's a lot of people in our churches today that are casual Christians, and what they have done, they have marked out a little bit of time for God, and they'll be there every once in a while. But you better not depend on them being there every time, because they ain't going to be there every time. They're just casual Christians. They're just every once in a while, not regular, not dependable. It doesn't mean enough to them to come and to be dedicated, although we can be dedicated to every other thing under the sun. That's where we are today. Every church I know has got the same group, some more than others, but there's always that casual crowd that's in and around the things of God and the people of God and the works of God, and they're laying around and hanging around, but just there ever whenever they feel like it. Just casually. Just casually. Now, you know, if we'd have been back in John chapter number 5, I guess some of them impotent folk, I guess some of them is just regulars. They is there all the time. But one of them might be up one day and say, well, where's Bob today? Well, you know, Bob, he's blind. I guess it's hard for him to come all the time, even though there might be a chance he could get in and get healed of his blindness. He's just here when he feels like coming. He's not here all the time. He's just here when he feels like being here. It's just a casual coming and laying around the pool and waiting for the angel to come down and trouble the water. And hey, he might get in and get healed, but it doesn't mean that much to him. He's just sort of used to being blind like the rest of us. Just casual Christianity. Just every once in a while, just occasional. And you look on down that word casual, it means this as well. It means taking place without an efficient, intelligent cause and without design. You know, there's always a crowd hanging around that they're just not really in it with their heart and they're not in it with their mind. They just casual Christian, just every once in a while, just come out of habit or whatever it is, and the things of God, you know, it's all right if it's there and it's all right if it's not there. If you're blind and you couldn't see anyway, you just think that's normal. You'd think everybody else thought the same way about it. Is that the way you feel about the things of God this morning? Just, if it's there, it's there. If it's not, it's not. It's no big deal in my life. I'm telling you, there's a lot out here in the world. Hey, there's a lot out here in the church. They could take it or leave it. It really doesn't mean one way or the other to them. It's just habit. It's just going through the motions. If Christianity, is it this morning just a fallen, occasional, mindless regimen that we go through out of habit? Is that all it is to us this morning? You know, I had a preacher come to Forest Grove years ago, and he's passed away now. But I'll never forget, he preached a message. He preached a message, and he said, why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you doing what you're doing? I believe it's all right for us to ask ourselves, why am I doing what I'm doing? Does it really mean something to me? To me this morning, it's just not an occasional, fallen, mindless regimen that I've got to go through. I mean, I love it. I love it. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And I'm telling you, I'd rather be where I am than where I ever was in the world. I don't want to go back there. I like the things of God. But to many, 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 I'm telling you, there's a lot out here in the world just casual Christians. And really, it means nothing. I mean, it means nothing to them. If it's here, it's here. If it's not, it's not. And so there's the multitudes of casual Christians this morning. Second of all, there's the monotony of casual Christianity. Now, I want you to see here in verse number 3 what they did when they got down there. There's the monotony of casual Christianity. It said, in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. I've underlined two words in verse number 3. I underlined that word lay, and I underlined that word waiting. And you know what they would do when they got down there? They're lame, they're impotent, they're withered, they're blind. What did they do, preacher? They just laid around and waited. I'll tell you what, that bore me to death. I don't like that. You know, the hardest work you'll ever do is to go to the hospital and sit around all day. If somebody's sick and you go to the hospital and you sit around, just lay around and wait for the doctor to come in. And I know sometimes you can't help that, but I'm telling you, I'd rather put up tobacco in the rain. You ever done that and them big old greasy leaves slap you across the face and it'll take you 10 days to wash all that stuff off? Lay around, wait around, drag around, boring life. And I'm telling you, that's what they did day in, day out, and just laid there. And you know what? That's exactly how some people are in their Christianity and their Christian walk. I mean, I'm telling you, they can get up for something going on in the world. Praise the Lord. I mean, they'll get out here and talk about they're going here and going there and going to drive all day and stay up all night and spend all kinds of money and all weekend long. And boy, I'll tell you, that's just the best thing. But you talk about going to the house of God and getting in on what the Lord's doing. Boring, boring, boring to them. I'm saying, if my Christianity was like that, I'd check up. I'd ask myself, I'm telling you, in the light of the Word of God, that's not how it ought to be. And I'll tell you, this world can get all excited. I seen the other day where somebody was already talking about the first day of football season way out there in September. Just excited about that. Well, I'm telling you, I've got something I can be excited about right now today. I mean, people get all excited about those things, but come to the house of God. You talk about coming in and worshiping the Lord and getting in on the good things of God. You know what it is? It's dragging in and dragging out and laying around and waiting around, just hoping and just, I wish this is over with. I'm ready to go on. I've scratched my religious itch and it's about time, you know, and I got my car pointed down the road. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. You know how preachers are. They say you come to get in, you come to get out. I come to get in. But I'm telling you, a lot of people come to get out. It's just a monotony to them. And just drag in and drag out. There's, now, when you're lame, when you're blind, when you're halt, when you're withered, when you can't do anything other than what your physical capabilities will allow you to do, well, then there's no walk there. Can't expect them to walk in like everybody else, can you? Because they're lame and they're withered. There's no real walk there. There's just a dragging about there. That tells something about our spirituality. There's no vision there for the things of God or the beauty of, or anything. No spiritual vision. There is no health there.
Talking about casual Christianity. Is your Christianity a casual Christianity? There ought to be a walk. There ought to be a vision. There ought to be health in our lives. But I'm telling you, these folks that were laying around and waiting around, it was just monotony to them. If I was absolutely bored to death with my Christianity and I didn't enjoy it and I didn't want anybody else to enjoy it, and let me tell you something this morning, you ever come to church and wonder why you just can't get in and enjoy it? Because if there's a certain number that's pulling in that other direction, that grieves the Spirit of God. And that's why a lot of times there's more liberty and freedom and worship on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night than there is on a Sunday morning. Because you got a certain number that's a pulling in the other direction. They don't want God to show up. They don't want to hear the preaching of the Word of God. They just want to go through the motions and get on down the road. My Christianity is like that. I'm telling you, I'd check up. I'd ask myself, if that's the way I feel about it, have I ever really been saved? Amen.
If I didn't want to enjoy it and I didn't want nobody else to enjoy it or get in or ever get in and could take it or leave it, there's the monotony of casual Christianity. And then number three, I'm moving along this morning. I'm getting down to the good part. There's the moving of casual Christianity. Look what it said in verse 3 and 4. It said, "In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had." Now, we're living in days where the water's not troubled just every time we meet together. But praise God, I'm glad every once in a while we get some help from heaven and we get a moving and a troubling in our midst, and thank God every once in a while people still get in and still get help. One at a time. Usually first one in. You better get in on three or four stanzas or it's over. We forgot about it. We're down the road. We forgot about what the preacher preached on. We've moved on to something else. But God still moves every once in a while. There's the moving of casual Christianity. And I'm telling you this morning, we're all affected by it. Don't think I'm not guilty myself. We're all affected by the Spirit of the age in which we live. But thank God there's a moving every once in a while. And every once in a while the casualty will get in. Now I want to show you something about this moving. It was for a whosoever. I like this in verse number 4. "For an angel went down at the certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water." You ought to underline that. Whosoever. That didn't mean if they was red, yellow, black, or white. It didn't mean if they was Jewish or Gentile, man or woman, old or young. It did not matter. It was just whosoever got there first got help. I like that. I'm glad I can preach a whosoever gospel. I don't know who God's dealing with. I don't know where anybody is, but I'm telling you, I'm glad I can preach, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever. Preacher David, he gave all them young people them shirts that says, I'm a whosoever, or you a whosoever. I like them shirts. I've seen the young people wearing them around. I like, I'm a whosoever. Praise the Lord, I got in one day, and I didn't get in because of how much money I had in my pocket or how old I was or how much I knew. I was just a whosoever, and I came, and He done something great for me and saved me by His marvelous grace. It was for a whosoever, and it was good for a whatsoever. Look in verse number 4. You ought to underline this. It said, "Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had." Boy, I like that. It's for whosoever, and it was good for a whatsoever. It didn't matter if they was blind. I mean, I'm telling you, if you're blind, you could go to every doctor in the world and they couldn't do nothing for you.
But if you was blind 2,000 years ago and you was in the right place at the right time and somebody said, "There he is," and you just fell over in by accident, praise God, you'd get up and see like you'd never seen before. Whatsoever a blind man could see, a man that didn't have no strength in his legs, if he could drag himself over to the edge of that pool and that angel come by and travel that water, if he could pull himself over in head first, praise God, he'd stand up there and stand up and walk out of there like an Olympic athlete. Didn't matter what it was. Whatsoever it was, it didn't matter if he'd never walked, if he'd never seen, if he'd never heard, whatsoever it was. And I know, I'm telling you, if somebody walked by and had a cold, and they's the first one in, they'd say, "I found a cure for the common cold. I got in the water first. Sorry, you people over there in the wheelchair, but you wasn't going to get in, praise God, I'll get in. I'll get better." Whatsoever, it didn't matter. It didn't matter physical. It didn't matter what was wrong with the person. Just whatever it was, God said, "If you get in first, I'll heal you." You know how people are in this day and time. And they say, "Oh, preacher, you don't know what I've done." And when somebody tells me that, you know what I won't tell them? I don't want to know what you've done. It don't matter to me what you've done. I'm not anybody anyway. I put my pants on the same as anybody else. But I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven. It says, "Come down, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." God said, "You just come and try me. You just come and try me." Whatever it was. Whatever it is, there's nothing that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cannot wash our sins away. The Lamb of God that came to take away the sins of the world, it was for a whatsoever. But I want to show you this. It was not a whensoever. They couldn't just come get in the pool anytime they wanted to and get healed. The Bible said there in verse number 4, "For an angel went down at a certain season." It wasn't just whensoever they wanted to. And that tells me that God's got a plan. And God knows when to come along and stir the waters. And He knew who's going to be the closest and who's going to get in and who's going to get help. But I'm telling you this morning, you just don't get right with God anytime you want to. You don't just jump in and out of the will of God and jump in and out of sin and righteousness and the world and church and good and bad and get right with God and pray and have fellowship and all of them things and go out and live like the devil and live like a dog. You just don't do it. You want to go out and do any old way and any old thing, God will let you live like a dog and go along in that shape for a long time. It's a dangerous thing. Told you about the lady in Idaho that always said, "I'd better not go down that road. I might not come back." It's not a whensoever. You don't just get saved anytime you want to. You get saved when the Spirit of God comes by and deals with your heart and convicts you of your sins. Says you better come now. And you don't get in when God's moving and troubling and you might just die in your sins and go to hell. Serious thing when God comes by and convicts and deals with your heart. That's the time. That is your day of salvation. You say, "Preacher, how do I know?" You'll know when God's dealing with your heart. I sat on the church pew as a young person, and I might as well sit there like a beast. As far as I know, God never spoke to my heart until the day that He did. When the day that He did, I'm telling you, I knew that was God speaking to my heart. But any other time, I sat there like any other young boy and colored and wrote in my Bible and imagined playing baseball and everything else under the sun and picked at my brother and drove my parents crazy, I'm sure. But I'm telling you, when God came by, that's the time. And I paid attention like I'd never. Somebody got my attention from another world. And I remember it like it's yesterday. I looked up at my mom and daddy and I said, "Can I go?" I need to go. I'd never done that in my whole life. And I'll tell you what, I believe God saved me when I stepped out of that pew. When he comes in troubles, that's when you get in. That's when you do business with God. That's when you get right with God. It's when the waters are troubled. Not just whenever you want to. There's a lot of people, they go along, well, I'm tired of this. I might as well get right with God. Dangerous thing. It's not a whensoever. And I'll show you the last thing this morning, number four. There's the moving of casual Christianity. Every once in a while, a casualty gets in. But I like this. There's the meeting of casual Christianity. Let's read verses 5 and 6. The Bible said, and a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? You see our man there sitting around the pool, and he's had an infirmity a long time. He couldn't walk right. Couldn't get up and go over there as quick as maybe a blind man that knew where it was, even though he couldn't see it, or maybe a younger person. It's 38 years he's been a cripple, now he's been a casualty almost as long as I've been alive. And I see our man there sitting around the pool, and I see our man there 38 years, that's a long time to be there. I see our man there thinking in his mind as he's sitting there waiting on that angel to trouble the water. I think our man has probably made up his mind already. This is just the way it's going to be. If you'd lived 38 years a certain way, nothing had ever happened to change anything, don't you think in your mind you'd think to yourself, I'm going to die like this. It's just the way it's going to be. I've sat out here a long time now, and I'm never in the right place at the right time. I'm just going to die like this. Nobody's here to help me get in. Just sort of giving up. We don't see him like the blind man over there in the Gospels that said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He's not even doing that. He's just sitting there minding his own business. He's not crying out. I think he's giving up all hope from what I read there. But I'm telling you, there was a day when the Son of God walked by, and he's stepping over crippled people and walking by blind people. And thank God he looked at what that fella one day. He's the one that initiates contact. He seen that fella sitting there, and he said, wilt thou be made whole? Boy, I'm telling you, thank God for the day Jesus passed by. Thank God for the meeting when he came by and spoke to your heart and spoke to my heart and saved by his marvelous grace, and that fella laid there and waited there. The Word of God says a long, long time. Jesus passed by and said, wilt thou be made whole? Look at verse 7. Said the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Boy, he had tried. He'd tried. You know, that's how we are. We try. He didn't have nobody to help him. Somebody else always beat him there. The Bible said in verse number 8, Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. I like that this morning. Can't you just see that in your mind? I mean, there he is, and he's laid there for 38 years. Just drug around, laid around, waited around, and here the Lord Jesus comes by and says, wilt thou be made whole? He didn't say, but Lord, I'm a cripple. I can't do that. He said, take up your bed and walk. He didn't say, I can't walk. I've been this way for 38 years. I'm lame. I'm crippled. Hey, I get disability. If I get up and walk, I'll lose it. Hey, in our day and time, they'd have been holding up signs saying this is the way to live. the church would have walked by and said, bless your heart, you've got a right to lay there in your wallow in your crippleness. That's how that homosexual loving crowd is. Hey, I think people ought to have a right to live like a dog. Whatever happened to saying, hey, there's a better way. Jesus died on the cross. You don't have to live in your sin. You can come and be gloriously saved. He will change you. He will take away that wickedness out of your heart and your mind. He said, rise up and walk. And that old fellow, what did he do? Praise God. He said, I believe I'll do that. I'll take you up on that. Woo-hoo! He rolled up that bed. He said, I ain't going to need that no more. Praise God. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works. Lest any man should boast. What did he do? What did he do? He heard the voice of God and he said, yes, Lord, I will take you at your word. I'll just get up off of this bed and walk like I've been walking all my life. Boy, I tell you, I'm glad we serve one that can change. Change us from our ways. Lift us up out of a horrible pit and set our feet upon a rock and establish our goings. I'm telling you, we serve a mighty God this morning. Thank God I was once a cripple, but I'm not anymore. Because he came by and he said, get up. Rise up. You want to be made whole? You don't have to lay there no more. Just get up. And walk, and he did, and the Bible said, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Boy, I like that. You can be in the right place. You can be around the people of God. You can be around the church. You can be in the shadow of the church. You can be in the house of kindness. You can be in the house of mercy, and you can be there year after year. But have you ever heard his voice? See, that fellow had been there for years and years, but he had never walked. He'd never met Jesus. He had seen others get in, but he himself had given up all hope of ever getting in. But thank God one day he heard his voice. Have you ever heard his voice? Boy, I'll tell you, if my Christianity, I could throw it in the garbage can or I could have it or leave it or take it or it didn't mean nothing to me. I'm telling you, I'm just asking this morning in light of the Word of God, have you ever heard His voice and heeded to His call? Has He ever changed you from what you were to a new creature? In Christ Jesus, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I'm telling you, this casual Christianity out here, it doesn't even ask for a change or look for a change. It just goes home and says, well, I hope they got saved. Reckon they'll be back next Sunday? They might, I don't know. Last week they was down in the bar. They might be back, I don't know. This casual Christianity, we're surrounded by it. There's still a God in heaven that changes lives. When we hear His call, have you heard His call? You say, preacher, you trying to make me doubt your salvation? Yeah. If I can talk you out of it, you don't have it. You can't talk me out of what I've got in the Lord Jesus Christ because I've heard from heaven. And I looked in the Word of God and John already seen me over in heaven. I'm telling you, I'm saved by the grace of God. He changed my life. I've not lived perfect. I've done things I shouldn't do, but I'm telling you, ever since I was 9 years old, there's a still small voice went with me everywhere I went. He said, you ought not to go there. You ought not to do that. I ain't letting you go on live like that on and on and on, I'm telling you. He comes by when you trip and fall too. So you need to get up. Didn't save you for that. Boy, I'm telling you, we serve a good God this morning. The Bible says, I'm telling you, a casual Christianity is no Christianity at all. It's a cripple. It's blind. It don't have no strength. It don't have no desire. It don't have no fight. It don't have no fruit. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Are you saved?
you say by the grace of God, and you know it this morning, then what we ought to do is live like we met the Master.
And you'll bless us in that. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Maybe you're here today.